Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the Church.
Brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, this is Weekly Edition on the Mormon Channel. Here's your host, Kathy Aiken.
Living with a crippling disease, two young men take their incredible challenges and turn them into a chance to serve the Lord.
I don't want to be someone who's getting carried through life. I want to carry somebody else.
I think it's given me an eternal perspective. I've learned to look at things and say, well, maybe I don't have that now, but I know that I'll have it later.
And it's an anniversary 100 years in the making, celebrating the legacy of the seminary program of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The primary purpose of seminary is to help youth come unto Christ and be perfected in Him.
I just really like listening to the Spirit and writing down kind of what He's telling me of what I need to know, even if it's not pertaining to the lesson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mormon Channel Weekly Edition, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Our first story today comes to us from northern Utah's Cache Valley, where a family of 10 has been dealt what some would call a very bad hand in life. But ask each member of the Wyatt family, and they say the disabilities they deal with on a daily basis are just an opportunity to excel in life and serve others. Despite a devastating disease, the Wyatt's oldest two sons are determined to serve missions. Imagine being told your 5-year-old son would never be like the rest of his classmates.
It was really devastating. It was super devastating.
Imagine finding out as a child you have a frightening disease.
I didn't really get it, what it meant. And I said, am I going to die?
Then imagine learning your two sons both have Duchenne muscular dystrophy.
It was really hard. My husband and I just pretty much stayed in the house for 2 weeks and cried.
Duchenne muscular dystrophy is an inherited disorder which affects all the body's voluntary muscles. Amy and Craig Wyatt's two sons, Sterling and Christian, found out they had the disease early on.
When I was younger, I didn't really think that it would be that big of a deal. Just because I don't think I really understood what having muscular dystrophy meant.
It meant a life of great hardship. Sterling would be using a walker by age 7. Christian was in a wheelchair when he was 11. Remarkably, the boys grew up loving and living life to the fullest.
We all face challenges in life, and it's all for a reason. I've learned that it's better to use your agency to decide to be happy than to use your agency to choose to be sad or choose to let outside forces determine how you feel.
God has a plan for you, and you can spend your life fighting against it and what your mission or your job is here on earth. Or you can help. You can help the Lord complete what He brought you down here to do.
What they were brought down here to do?
I'll work with you once you get settled.
Okay.
Serve missions. But imagine Sterling having only the use of his fingers. Imagine him having no way to function on his own. Then imagine a miracle. The boy's paternal grandparents moved from their Idaho home and moved into an apartment with Sterling. It was decided they would be the ones to help him serve his 2 years in the Utah Ogden Mission Office.
In our ancestry, we've had people that joined the church and gave up inheritances and came across the plains, walked and struggled to get here. And I've looked back at it and I thought, what would I tell those people when I meet them that if I didn't do it? You know, it was too hard, or I was too busy, or it cost too much money.
For 2 years, Sterling's grandfather drove him to the mission office, set him up to his computer, and stayed by his side until the day was done. Sterling would type in referrals for other missionaries.
I'm really grateful that I was able to somehow help people get baptized and receive this great blessing that I've had in my life. And I've seen how the atonement can take your weaknesses, take the things about yourself that you don't like, that you can't change on your own, and it changes you and turns you into a new person.
Sterling's grandmother, Carol Lee, cooked and cleaned while the two became best friends.
We have a little motto in our family. We take the name of Wyatt, when you are tested, triumph. And that's our motto for our family.
A model that has come in handy the past 2 years, a model that will help them through 2 more years. That's because it's Christian's turn to serve.
I'm a little nervous because I've never quite done anything like this. Never worked in an office. So it's a little nerve-wracking, but I think I'll be okay.
After Sterling completed his mission,
good morning.
Christian now gladly follows his brother's example at the same mission office.
We're glad you're here. We've been waiting for you.
All my life, people have been helping me just to do physical things. Simple things that everybody else can do. I don't want to be someone who's getting carried through life. I want to carry somebody else.
If he does need to be carried, his grandfather will be right by his side as well. The Wyatts, former missionaries themselves, will give another 2 years in the loving service of a second grandchild.
I don't know what the purpose of my life will be when we don't have those boys here anymore. It's really given a purpose to retirement for me.
Imagine knowing 5 of your 6 sons have the same disease. Imagine knowing survival beyond age 30 is rare. Then imagine knowing with certainty that the atonement of our Savior Jesus Christ will one day make them whole.
I'm not going to live forever, but there's other things that are more important. And, you know, I might not have a good body now, but that doesn't mean I can't help other people.
I think it's given me an eternal perspective. I've learned to look at things and say, well, maybe I don't have that now, but I know that I'll have it later, and it'll be even better.
It just makes us realize what's important, you know, and that we are an eternal family, that no matter what difficulties or challenges we have, we can work together, and we might have to carry some of them part of the way, but we're going to make it together.
What a remarkable perspective. An update for you now. Since we last met with the Wyatt family, Elder Christian Wyatt's mother says Christian's riding home at least once a week and loves studying the gospel so much. As far as the rest of the family, Sterling is now attending Utah State University and is pursuing a business degree. And the others are hoping to follow in their older brother's footsteps when they, too, are mission age. When we return, a look back at the beginnings of the modern-day seminary program, 100 years in the making.
Our world of biblical words, it's a great place to wander and wonder. For example, let's take a look at the words bath, Homer, and core. Now, we're not talking about taking a bath like in water. And we're not talking about a baseball homer. And we're not talking about the core of an apple. All this is different. Bath, Homer, and core. Here's a scripture from the Old Testament, from the book of Ezekiel, that's kind of fun. It contains all three of these words. See if you can follow it. Ezekiel 45:14, to be specific. It reads, "Concerning the ordinance of oil, the bath of oil, ye shall offer the 10th part of a bath out of the core, which is an homer of 10 baths. For 10 baths are an homer." Did you get all that? Well, let's put it all together. It's a visual thing, and that's why we're using the radio, huh? So a bath was a Hebrew unit of liquid measure that was roughly equivalent to, let's say, 8 or 9 gallons. The equivalent in a dry measure was called an ephah. Sorry to confuse you here, adding another word, ephah. We'll learn this together. So bath was liquid, ephah was dry. A homer was believed to be 10 ephahs. Remember, ephah is a dry measurement, bath was a liquid measurement. The core was a vessel used as a measure for both liquids and solids. It was equal to a homer. In other words, it contained 10 ephahs in dry measure and 10 baths in liquid measure. In fact, the word core in its original usage was rendered measure. So understanding what a measure is allows us to see more clearly the imagery of the Savior's words when he said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over." So, there you have it. Bath, liquid measure, 8 or 9 gallons, ephah, dry measure, basically equivalent to a bath, homer, 10 ephahs, and kor, a round vessel used as the measure for both liquids and solids, equal to a homer. You've just enjoyed another segment of Our World of Biblical Words, Discoveries and Definitions. Now, go hit a homer, but make sure you pick up what you scatter.
For many Latter-day Saints, their days in seminary may be a distant memory. That is, if you're not one of the thousands of parents who drive their children to early morning seminary on a daily basis. For you, seminary is very much a big part of your life. Either way, hundreds of thousands of youth in the church attend seminary every day around the world. This year, they're celebrating the 100th anniversary of the year seminary first began.
Did everybody mark the roll?
100 years ago, a man by the name of Thomas Yates taught the very first seminary class. It took place in this building across from Granite High School in Salt Lake City, Utah. However, the idea for seminary began long before.
There was a counselor and a stake presidency, his name was Joseph F. Merrill, who had watched his wife tell stories of the scriptures to their children. And he was so impressed how well she knew the scriptures. So he proposed it to their stake presidency. Why don't we have a religion class across the street from the school while they're in their public school time period?
One century later, that first religion class that taught 70 students in 1912 continues throughout the world. Now there's over 375,000 young men and women who were taught about the gospel and our Savior Jesus Christ.
Your experience with the incredible miracle of forgiveness.
There are about 1,500 employees that work directly with the seminaries. One of the best stories are the called teachers that we have. We have about 37,000 called teachers. They are so dedicated. They're some of my heroes.
Heroes that teach the youth before school, after school, or during release time during the day. Each year is taught one of the four books of Scripture. This year's study is on the Old Testament.
The primary purpose of seminary is to help youth come unto Christ and be perfected in Him. Our objective statement says we want students to understand and rely on the teachings and atonement of Christ to qualify for the blessings of the temple. There's been a more of a recent push within the last decade or so to help prepare youth so that they can teach the gospel to others.
Know that personal restoration is...
Brother Justin Reeder is teaching seminary at Brighton High School in Cottonwood Heights, Utah.
What's incredible to me is actually the students. I find that the students nowadays are just very strong spiritually. I have a student in my class. He goes to the temple with all of his friends as a ritual every week. And sometimes he'll even go twice a week with his friends. So they just have a very strong desire to do what their Heavenly Father wants them to.
What are the biggest challenges that you see that the students face today?
Well, the interesting thing is that the students recognize that they're growing up in a very difficult world. President Packer, in his talk that he recently gave to the youth for the seminary centennial, he mentioned that they're growing up in enemy territory, and they know that, and they recognize it. And so they are quick to recognize the difficulties that surround them, but also to be able to do their best to stand up for what's right.
I love seminary because it's just a break from the world. Like, you're at school and stuff, and then you come to seminary and you just get a break. And it's just really nice to come and feel the Spirit. You can immediately feel it's just warmth and a place of happiness. There's no evil at all here. It's great.
I just really like listening to the Spirit and writing down kind of what He's telling me of what I need to know, even if it's not pertaining to the lesson. And it's just a really nice time where I can just really feel the Spirit and be away from the world for a little while.
I just love walking in. It's just like a break from school, normal life. Come to seminary, I get that feeling. It's like, oh, it's seminary, I'm relaxed. I can feel the Spirit, and I just love seminary.
Which is exactly what Brother Yates must have been hoping for when he taught that first class 100 years ago. Today, students from around the globe travel to seminary in many different ways, listen to lessons in different buildings, but the message and the goals remain the same. That students graduate from seminary with a stronger love of the Scriptures, of the gospel, and especially a greater love of our Savior Jesus Christ.
What would make you most happy when these young men and women graduate from seminary after 4 years? What do you hope they leave with as they enter the world?
First and foremost, I hope they leave here with a firm testimony of who their Savior is and what He's done for them, and that what they can access through His atonement. If they have a knowledge of that basis, then I feel that the seminary program would have been successful.
Our thanks to the students of Brighton Seminary for allowing us to join their class for a day. For more information on the seminary program in your area, log on to seminary.lds.org. Wherever you are in the world today, thank you so much for joining us today. Mormon Channel Weekly Edition is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. To listen to this episode again, or if you'd like a copy for your personal use, please visit us at mormonchannel.org. There you can download this episode, subscribe to our podcast, and listen to many other programs we offer right here on the Mormon Channel. Also, we remind you to log on to mormonchannel.org to watch special weekly edition videos about both the Wyatts and the Seminary Centennial. They are there right now. Now, if you have a story you'd like us to cover, please email us at mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. We hope you have a great day.